invite you to remain standing for a reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 through 15. Now, let me tell you, you've got some work to do during this scripture reading, all right? Now, in this reading today, you're going to hear the word, behold. All right. So when you, I know, they came to the sunrise service, so they're ready. They didn't get enough at sunrise, all right? So you get to be a part of it. When you hear the word, behold, which is a dramatic, forceful word in this reading, I want you to say, behold, and you get to choose how God might be stirring in you to express the dramatic force of this word in this day of the resurrection, all right? I hope you have fun with it. Now, after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards quaked from fear of him and became like dead men. And the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who's been crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come, see this place where he was lying. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came and took a hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and report to my brothers to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me." Now while they were on their way, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all that had happened. And when they assembled with the elders and took counsel together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and said, "You are to say his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this is heard before the governor, we will win him over and keep you out of trouble." And they took the money and did as they'd been instructed. And this is the story that was widely spread among the Jews and is to the day the word of God for the people of God. Amen. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Oh Lord, you are worthy. You're worthy for us to rise to our feet. You are worthy for us to shout out on this day that you are alive. You are worthy for us to fall down and grab a hold of your feet. As we walk through your story this morning, wherever we are, may we feel and understand and to know your anointing and your Holy Spirit that is living and breathing through this story, which is living and breathing in us, desires, oh God, may we come to understand that you desire to fill us completely. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. It was not snowing, there was no rain, but several of us gathered this morning in the cold, in the darkness at 6 o'clock. One of the things that we did not remember because we gathered for the sunrise service at 6 is that the bell tower is still going and still dinging the hour and plays a hymn on the hour. We've been gathering at the end of Lock 4 Road for years now when we could, and so we gathered outside here in the front lawn area. And of all the songs, all the hymns that would be played would be the hymn that was on our agenda, on our order of worship for the praise band, and we joined in singing the hymn that was permeating the darkness of Gallatin. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. the sound of the hymn. And then at the conclusion of the second verse, Taylor guided us to change keys and to join in and to finish it with guitar and with voice. And just at one of those moments when a preacher needs an amen, I was preaching along and there came a moment for, behold, there went the bell tower with the righteous voice of the declaring the amen of First United Methodist Church to all who could hear that, yes, Jesus lives, he reigns, and the sound of the bells, the sound of the hymn, is one that happens here in a particular way. You know, that you're at a church that in 2029 will celebrate 200 years of ministry, a faithful ministry in Gallatin. And this sanctuary, and since 1874, has been singing and ringing out the story of the gospel in a peculiar and particular way about the life of Jesus. You know, we have all kinds of words that we would exchange to emphasize something, right? And I want you to think of the church words that are appropriate for church, for emphasis. Share with your neighbor a word or two that might come to your mind that would ring true for emphasis. Go. Online, you can put it into the chat window. Keep it safe for the church, remember.
Exchange words.
Other words for behold, all right? That's the assignment. You have words to celebrate, words of wonder, wow, superb, excellent, hooray. In today's reading, there is a word that continues to emphasize something that is happening in this story, a word that in the English, we don't have the right kind of words. So some of you are struggling. I mean, if you want to get into the world, we could come up with all kinds of words to show our excitement. Shouldn't we, as people of faith, be able to have a word that describes the truth and the power of this day? So that when you said it, you know exactly what you're talking about the power of Jesus over the death, over the grave. We begin the day after the Sabbath, early in the morning in the darkness with Mary Magdalene and Mary. They come in Matthew's gospel looking for the grave. And then verse 2, we have, behold, an earthquake and an angel descending. And this angel is descending, and then the angel takes the stone that's in front of the tomb and rolls it away, and then this angel sits on it. In verse 3, we're told that his appearance is like lightning and his clothes as white as snow. Now, I've seen lightning before, but I've never seen lightning just come and sit somewhere, right? With clothes radiant white, this angel comes from the heaven after the earthquake. So the earth began to shake and quake, and it began to be stirred. And here comes this messenger. An angel is just a messenger. It filled with a message comes and rolls the stone away. And I want to tell you that Jesus did not need the angel to come to get out of the tomb, right? So Jesus has already left the tomb. Comes, rolls the stone away, and sits down. There were two guards guarding this tomb. They'd been sent there by the Romans and the chief priests to make sure that no one came to steal the body of Jesus. You see, Jesus has been talking about his resurrection. He said, in 3 days, I'm going to rise again. The word was on the street. There was a word permeating the story. And for those who had power, they thought that they could end this story. Let's put some guards there just to make sure. And in verse 4, those two guards who are keeping watch over the stone, right? Over the stone that's in front of this tomb. These two guards, in the presence of the earthquake, two guards who are supposed to be guarding the dead body, it says in verse 4 that they became like dead men and that they began to quake and then they fall out like they are dead. How about that? By the way, it doesn't do very well to kind of stand in God's way, right? It doesn't do very well to try to change the story, even in this moment when the earthquake has come and begun to shake this tomb that was no longer needed by Jesus, that these two guards who had a purpose to make sure no one came to steal the body of Jesus, that they are so overcome in this moment that they become like dead men and they fall down. And then there is Mary Magdalene and Mary, and the angel greets these two women who have come to look at the grave. The angel says, "Do not be afraid." That's a good word, by the way. It's a powerful word that is repeated over and over again through Scripture. And I want to tell you, you don't have to look very hard to find all the reasons why we could be afraid today, why fear could dominate our story. Many of our prayer requests, if we're not really intentional about our relationship with God, do you know that our prayer requests can even fall into a hole of fear, right? Our very lives can seemingly sink into the sands of fear. Here is this angel. You think about all that Mary Magdalene and Mary have come through. We've had a powerful week this week. I was deeply touched by hearing and watching our youth retell the story of Good Friday. We gathered on the courthouse steps, and the reading and the pronouncement happened on the steps, and then we walked eerily down the middle of the street that was closed off for Good Friday. My mama told me, "You don't walk in the street," right? Here we are, and the sounds of the crowd closest to Jesus saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." I had a hold of my son Max's hand as we walked behind the crowd, walking toward our Golgotha hill in front of the Main Street lawn. Later on Friday, Charlie asked me, did they nail nails into the person on the cross? Now, I had to tell him that, no, we were just hitting the wood out front, but it did happen to Jesus. And though we hear the story, we see it dramatized in a variety of ways, none of us really knows what it is to walk with Mary and Mary Magdalene and the disciples in that moment when Jesus is crucified on the cross. We've seen excruciating, painful violence in our world, but we don't know that particular thing with our own eyes. Think about the death that Mary Magdalene and Mary have walked through. And when you've gone through some kind of tragedy, you can be filled with compassion for one another in that moment, walk together. But really, none of us knows each other's heart and the tearing that happens, like a hook pulling your heart apart that continues to be pulled even after that moment. The angel says to Mary Magdalene and Mary, "Do not be afraid. I know why you're here. You've come to see Jesus who was crucified." And in verse 6, we get the good news. When the angel says to Mary Magdalene, "Mary, he is not here. He has risen. Come and see where he's been." You may not have wings like you've seen angels depicted. Your presence may not actually look like you're radiating lightning, and that's okay. But every time you find a brother or sister who has a word of knowledge or a word of experience, who finds you in that moment, who, when you know that there is hope and you're talking to someone who's walking in hopelessness, you are a messenger of light. You are as though you are an angel. This messenger knew the truth and spoke a word of truth to Mary Magdalene and Mary, who had come to see the grave. And they're getting the good news. He is not here. He lives. Hallelujah. He lives. Come and see where he used to be. An angel showed Mary Magdalene, "Mary, this used to be used by Jesus, but he is not here." And the distance between the end of verse 6 and verse 7, the angel then says, and go quickly. Go quickly. Go quickly, tell his disciples to go to Galilee, and he will meet them there. And behold, you go to Galilee, and you will meet him there, and you will see him. Behold, I've told you this. I love it. I heard a kid say, behold. I love it. I love it. You see, that's what the gospel is trying to do here. The gospel is trying to give us this word so that we would understand that it's not just the message of the angels, but it is a message of every son and daughter of God who comes to believe in Jesus, that there's something about this resurrection story that you don't just close off, you experience once in your lifetime or once in a year, that it is a story that is passed on from generation to generation. It is a story that is lived day in and day out. This story that you too can go find Jesus, that he is will meet you there. And in verse 8, it says that as Jesus meets Mary Magdalene and Mary on their journey, Jesus says, greetings. This week, my iPad update, and the first thing that came open on the screen was, hello. We don't have a great word for this word that is being translated here as greeting. It is a word that is saying hello. It is saying greeting. It is saying, look up. This is real. It is that moment when you don't have a word to say what you feel on the inside, when you didn't know that you would see someone again, and you warmly embrace one another in the depths of love. Here is Jesus to Mary Magdalene and to Mary saying, greetings, hello, I love you all at the same time. And in that moment, Mary Magdalene and Mary fell at the feet of Jesus and grabbed a hold of his feet and worshiped him. For those who were here on Thursday night in the Maundy Thursday service, the Maundatum, we washed one another's feet, or washed one another's hands, or had a moment of spiritual washing in praying with one another. Think about how Jesus brought himself to wash the disciples' feet, how Mary Magdalene had anointed those same feet of Jesus. Think about the feet of Jesus that on Good Friday would have collected the blood that would have poured out of his body as it ran down his arms and his body, collecting blood after having been nailed to the cross and the suffering of that moment. Here are now those same feet without the blood stains on them, but in a resurrected form, in a form that Mary Magdalene and Mary could grab a hold of and hold on and worship him. One of the great crises of the church today is a sense of apathy, of discontent. And apathy is just about as dangerous for us as acceptance of just getting what we want to hear, right? Those two are some of the most dangerous things to the church right now. With everything else that's happening in our world and our life, a sense of just kind of a blah mentality. And I tell you, when you come to Jesus, this Jesus who lives and reigns, who rose on the third day, who has power over the grave, when you come into a relationship with Jesus, it is a power against every moment of apathy, and it is the light that breaks through every cloud of deception. And then Jesus tells Mary Magdalene and Mary, do not be afraid. Again, not just the angel, but Jesus says those words. Church, you don't need to be afraid. When you know Jesus, you do not need to be afraid. Jesus tells Mary Magdalene, Mary, go tell not my disciples now, but go tell my brothers to go to Galilee and I will meet them. What I think is powerful about that moment is, when was the last time that Jesus would see those disciples? Do you think it could have been moments when they left the cross? Could it have been moments when they, in their own humanness, in their own weakness, would abandon Jesus? And before they even recognize their peace with God, before they would even recognize who Jesus is, that Jesus has already reconciled himself to them, that while they were still sinners, while they were still broken, that Jesus was willing to go to them and call them my brother. I wonder if there are folks in the sanctuary today or online who have people in their lives who biologically are family, but because of some kind of tragedy or some kind of brokenness, would struggle to call someone a brother or a sister or a son or daughter or a mother or a father. Do you know that there are all kinds of broken relationships here? And Jesus is the kind of God that knows what it is to have someone turn their back on them. But because of his abiding love, because he doesn't give up on any of us, this is the Jesus who calls us brother, who calls us friend, who goes to us even when we have lost control of ourselves and desires to be in relationship to us, who sends people like Mary Magdalene and Mary to say, go tell my brothers where to find me. I want to tell you, you don't really have to go anywhere. Right here, you can find Jesus today. You're in the right place. You're close to the kingdom. Jesus is already here. And they would go and they would tell others about this risen Lord. Now, normally on Easter, when we read from Matthew, we stop at verse 10, but I've included five more verses because there's another, behold, to have to deal with. This one comes from the soldiers. You know those guards who'd been at the tomb? They know the truth. They've experienced the angel coming. They were so overcome with the earthquake and the quaking of fear from this angel. Their fear and failure of the moment to keep this story behind a stone, that they go to the chief priest and give a report of the truth. And likely what would be more expensive than the money they would give Pontius Pilate for selling out Jesus. The guards are bribed with a large sum of money to go spread news that was untrue. And I want you to hear this today, church. Now, I know I've not been around, and I don't have all the maturity yet that God desires for me in my life. But there is a lot of deception in our world. Just as much as deception as there was in the life of Jesus, there were guards who were paid to go tell a story that was not true. That there are all kinds of deceptions in our world, in our life right now in 2022. There are all kinds of places of important, not just in spiritual concerns, but in political concerns, in all kinds of relationships, often our disagreements with one another are often based on things that are not completely true. We've got a partial bit of truth, but we don't have it all. And I don't have it all yet. That last behold gives opening to an understanding that after the resurrection of Jesus, there was a group with money motivating their story that would be spread throughout the region about what happened at the tomb. Church, I want you to behold today. Behold and be held by the love of Jesus. I don't want you to let go of the truth of the resurrection. Don't let someone steal it. Don't let someone convince you it didn't happen. Don't let someone take away from your life and your heart the truth of the gospel. Don't let someone take a fragment of untruth and turn you against one another or turn you against your family. Let the love of God bring hope and reconciliation. And when you pray for Jesus to come into your life, into the life of your family, when you surrender to the hope of Christ in the church, it is a love and a light that breaks through every cloud, that you get to behold the truth of Jesus and be held in his grace and his love. I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in the lives of brothers and sisters who are part of the church. When you would be brought into a family, when you are brought together, when you thought there would not be anything you could agree about with this person, the Lord has a way of bringing love and hearts together to bring peace. And I'm praying for peace in this church. I'm praying for peace in your life. And I'm praying for God's reconciling peace in your own hearts, because our warfare isn't always with others, right? Sometimes the greatest destruction is what happens on the inside when we're in conflict with ourselves. I pray that you get some peace in your life. So what would be our word today, right? That you are not here just to hear the message of Easter. But you, like the messengers, like the angels, like Mary Magdalene and Mary, like the disciples who would come to know Jesus, that you are here hearing this message, and you too have a job to do when you leave. And that word is to behold the truth of Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.